I asked these guys to sing this song for the sentiment, which you will better understand in just a bit. I promise you, I will get to the word. You can turn over there, Philippians chapter 1. Today is my first time to preach in a while. And this will be a bit different, and it will certainly be a difficult message for me to preach, but perhaps will be one of the most significant messages that I will preach for the rest of my life. The physical things that I have experienced lately, namely heart attack and open heart surgery, Just barely over 5 weeks ago today. When I was en route, of course, from the East Coast back to Texas, and all of that, of course, was totally unexpected. These physical things that I experienced and I'm still experiencing fall well below the spiritual things that I have experienced, especially in the hospital, in ICU, and just beyond. Now, people today, of course, and family and close friends, they see my chest and say, well, that looks great. Well, it does it to me. I'm used to seeing that other chest, you know. But it is a lot of fun to be able to play with the grandbabies and tell them that I have 4 belly buttons and you only have 1. The little Gatlin, he's searching around for another one. Maybe he could find one and meet up with granddaddy's. I want you to know that I have never felt as loved in my life as I have felt the last many weeks. All of our children came quickly to our aid, hours away, serving above and beyond the call of duty. And I can't begin to tell you how much of a blessing that is. And I thank God all of my children are saved. All of our children love the Lord. And it's been such a blessing to Dory, my wife, and of course to me. And I'm certainly not a good patient, and I'll promise you that. And they'll all swear to it now. And then the early tender mercies of Tyler and Tori, the visits, of course, Brother John, Brother Ben, Pastor Ben Springer, and all the prayers, cards, and gifts, well wishes, the love expressed through the kids, even this morning on the doors. Miss Andrew's doing a fantastic job, and the others, they've just done great, and I appreciate it so very much. I hope not to disappoint you today. I told somebody, I said, I hope I don't bomb. They said, you could never bomb. Well, don't you believe that. In 1993, guest in church, we started a journey together. That journey did not begin on the mountaintop. I wish I could tell you there was a great honeymoon. That journey began in extreme hardship and suffering. So what has been going on recently, recovering from open heart surgery, is the second greatest hardship that I have experienced with you, though this one, of course, is much more public. The first hardship lasted at least 5 years. I'm very confident this second one will not last quite that long. Amen. The early 5 years, those times of great suffering and those valleys, that was a price that had to be paid. And it had to be paid so that we could have better years beyond that. And we've had a great many, a good many better years than that since those early times. Today we celebrate 32 years, our anniversary, and we have a much better standing, blessings. But had it not been for the grace of God, the mercies of Almighty God, the faithfulness and sacrifice of so many people, we would not be here today to enjoy all the many benefits had it not been for those early members who paid a price with me early on. And we honor them today. Our journey began with much fewer assets, fewer dollars, fewer people, smaller ministry endeavors, very little fanfare and interest, yet with an honorable group of believers, struggling though we were. We were going in the hole financially every month when I took the church. But by God's grace, it only took 1 month to correct that. Really just 5 minutes, but it takes the books 30 days to show it to correct that. For years, our baseline financially that we'd try to do to consider a zero balance was $30,000. When we had $30,000, we considered that our baseline. And that's in all of our accounts. And some years it was very difficult for me to strive to get back to that $30,000 before December 31st. I sort of like that old song, if we make it through December, everything's going to be all right. Now, more recently, we have given love offerings very near to that amount. To God be praised. In 2005, we realized we needed to make a move, a relocation out of Garland. So we purchased these 28.3 acres that we're on now. And we purchased that for only 57 cents a square foot. Now, there are 43,560 square foot in an acre. So that brought the total to just over $700,000 for the 28 acres. We took out a $900,000 loan on line of credit, and that was needed enough, of course, to purchase the land, equipment, and architect and plans and more. We secured that, of course, from a good Christian man, a bank over here in Sachse. And he was such a blessing to me and helped me understand a lot about banking that I added to my, you know, my basket through the years. We started marketing that property, of course, in Garland. That was just right over 4 acres. And realized the realtor that we hired was not going to work out. So we decided we'd just go on our own. And we did that, and it worked. We found a buyer and started working through those details. We sold that property with the condition of a back lease. And so we met in off days on during the middle of the week and then on Sunday afternoons. And that's how we ran for a while. We ended up selling that property for $1 million and paid off this land loan. And we had really, at that time, burned the bridge behind us, and we had nowhere to go but forward. One of my officers said one time, matter of fact, it was one in Avery, and he says, maybe we shouldn't have sold the property. I said, it's too late now. It's too late, Doc. It's too late. We started working our plans. Blueprints, a two-story, was the first design, but that ended up coming in at too high of a price. And we've always tried to strive to stay within our means. Faith, yes, but within our means. So we revamped to a one-story, which is what we have here, what we designed, and we ended up with that. I started with the designer because that simply offered more savings than going with an architect, just a designer and engineer. But that didn't work out. He wanted to have crooked walls, and I like straight walls. Crooked walls. What's the problem, you know? So what'd you do? I fired him. Hired an architect. He turned out to be a crook, but we just managed him anyway. And we got through it. Most of this heartache during all that time was behind the scenes, and church at large was not troubled about a great many of those things. But the good officers of this church, they worked with me behind those scenes. And they were such a blessing, always loyal. We kept moving forward, 1 foot at a time, 1 step at a time, regardless of the obstacles. I'd like to share with you all of our loans over this transitional time because it really is a great story of God's blessings on our life and our ministry here. We had, of course, that land and development loan, that line of credit of $900,000. And that we used, of course, to purchase the 28.3 acres here. Then we had our first bond, and there's a whole story behind every one of these. Our first bond was over $1.9 million. Our second bond was over $1.1 million. And then we were a little short by the bond company, and we ended up with an in-house, no-interest loan from our members of $146,000, which many of you are sitting right here in this room today. Then we have had a loan that we took out to develop the industrial park back here on the back. That was $350,000. And then several years later, we took out a loan to build the staff house, the apartment loan out here, our apartment build, $175,000. I'm not including other projects, the playground and many of the other things and, you know, development and remodeling and things. But those loans come out to be $4,579,000 and change. $4,579,000. Now, friends, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Especially for a mechanics kid like me. I never imagined I would have to manage that kind of money. But I found out through the years, if you can manage a dollar, you can manage millions of dollars. In the summer of 2008, we broke ground. And right beneath my feet is a kind of time capsule that we buried a Bible and other things, our articles of faith, to be a testimony. And many of our members signed and have their well wishes and their favorite Bible verses. So every week, I literally stand above the very Word of God and preach. Your pastor was the general contractor in all that development land out back in the industrial park, as well as the church building, including the utilities and all the way up through the foundation. We tried to use a realtor on some of the land sales. That usually failed. And so I ended up brokering all the deals for the church. So the church has never paid any of the brokering financial charges and things like that. We took care of all that ourselves. We sold the property in Garland for $1 million. Solid even number. And paid off the line of credit here of $900,000. We sold 4 acres over here. I wish I had that 4 acres back. I could make a lot more money on it today than I made then. I'll promise you that. Sold that for over $400,000 on that corner. Then, not only, you got to remember, that was $2.30 a square foot, and we paid 57 cents a square foot. So though I could make a lot more money on it today, we were already ahead of the money. You know what I'm saying? I said, you know what I'm saying? We developed 6 commercial lots out back with all the utilities and a street and planned all that and put all the utilities in and sold them, every one of them, one at a time. And that earned us $653,000 and change. We sold 5.3 acres back on the back corner over there, as well as some easement property for $876,000. We paid off that apartment mortgage out here, put the rest on the principal of the regular mortgage. And then lastly, straight out behind us, we sold 2.31 acres for $604,000 and change. And that's just under $100,000 for what we paid for the entire 28 acres. Are you staying with me? Some of you engineers, you're ahead of me. You're doing the math. So, total Garland and Wiley property and land sales came to $3,546,000, saving to self-brokered deals over $200,000 is what we saved in just broker fees. We purchased the 28.3 acres for $702,000 plus, and the additional cost for a total of $900,000 for the difference in net profit of $2,546,000 and change. And the church has kept right at 10 acres of what we had out of the 28 acres. Of course, we built the staff house out there. That value is at least $350,000 and paid it off in just a few months in 2018. At the end of July of this year, 2025, our debt was paid off in full. Our property is valued at over $4 million, and we, praise God, are debt-free. Amen. The Lord be praised. If we had not worked this plan and just bought what we ended up with and built this property, we would have ended up paying around $7 million in principal and interest as opposed to about $700,000. I like the sound of 700 a lot better than I do the 7 million. And we would still be paying on that, and we would long be paying on that. So we paid $700,000 in interest instead of what would have been closer to 7 million. So here we stand at the close of a marathon, but not too long, really, Miss Andrea. That's inside, you know. Not too long. 20 years of debt from start to finish. How about that? 20 years of debt from start to finish. I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of New Heights Baptist Church and our record of giving, our testimony through it all to the faithfulness of God and God's people. We went through some hardships. We went through some difficulties. We had some people lost their jobs and yet stayed faithful. Stayed faithful through the years. God has blessed. Much work has been done here and many churches have been established in foreign lands and here in the United States. The mission works of the church are strong and we have faithfully supported church planters around the world, declaring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching souls the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only heaven will reveal the rewards, and there will be many. Years ago, we were pressed upon by the Lord to stop ignoring our own Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, kind of the U.S. We had read, of course, in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But the first three are within a 100-mile radius. And so we no longer wanted to ignore that and just consider missions to be foreign works only, but include works here in the United States. So since that time, we have been seriously engaged in the ministry of home church planting, and tens of thousands of dollars have been invested in work, investing directly and responsibly into preachers who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the social gospel, but preachers who preach the gospel, and start New Testament churches here in the United States. New Heights Baptist Church was the number one supporter of the vast majority of these that I intend to list here now. And I think there are a total of 28. The first Claremont Baptist Church in Claremont, Florida, Brian Loveless, pastor. Bethel Baptist Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, Jim Sanders, our buddy. Bethel Baptist Church in San Angelo, Texas, Jeremy Martin. Mid-America Baptist Church, Winfield, Missouri, Richard Kuntz. Heartland Baptist in Troy, Missouri, Mike Eddy. Gatewood Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, Paul Price. Fellowship Baptist Church in Stillwell, Oklahoma, Jim Sanders. Community Baptist Church in Fred, Texas. How about that? I like to live in Fred sometime. Fred, Texas, Brandy Golden. New Testament Baptist in Pantego, Texas, Dr. David Bryant. Grace Baptist Church in Bryan, Arkansas, Joel Prickett. Calvary Baptist Church, another buddy, Weatherford, Oklahoma, David Corley. Matter of fact, he just celebrated 20 years at his church. They wanted me to write and do a little video, and I was unable to do that, but I'm going to plan on sending him a gift. Hopefully they can take a trip. They've earned it. Heritage Baptist Church, Opelika, Alabama, Thad Endicott. Calvary Baptist, Middleton, Rhode Island, Carla Salon. Calvary Baptist Church, church we started there, of course, in Roy City, Pastor Daniel Ledford. Monument, Independent Baptist Church in Monument, Colorado, Mark DeBolt. Beth Haven Baptist in Oklahoma City, Rick Carter. Colonial Baptist in Rogers, Arkansas, Ed Pearson. Liberty Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Kansas, Corey Eastep. Bethel Baptist Church in Leawood, Kansas, Keith Drinkard. Life Baptist in Miami, Florida, Louis Brasino. Boulder Valley Baptist in Boulder, Colorado, Mark Martinez. Cross Point Baptist in Kerrville, North Carolina, David Azzarello. Foundational Baptist, Tulsa, another buddy, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Roland Bork, King Baptist Church in King, New Hampshire, Zach Shives, North Point Baptist Church in Willing, Illinois, Nick Tallarita, Liberty Baptist Church, Liberty's pretty common, I guess, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Jason Stevens, Liberty Baptist Church, Poplar Bluff, Missouri, Shane Mallard, and Liberty Baptist Church in Russellville, Arkansas, Colt Foster. That's quite an accomplishment. Praise the Lord for it. We have a few preachers that have been called and sent out of this church. The first was Rick Washburn Jr. many years ago. The second was Gary Boyd Jr. Then Daniel Robb, Ben Springer, Stephen Giordano, Colt Foster, Daniel LaBarge, who's here with us serving, and Garrett Gaioso, who wrote me this very morning, who will be finishing up his degree and soon be out pastoring his own church. We have had ministers who have married one of our girls. We don't want to ignore them. Or, of course, Carlos Alon, David Young, and Jonathan Wilder. We've had a number of people we have helped train. Some are interns who are still yet engaged in the gospel ministry in their churches around the United States. First, and I love to tell this story about Julio Lopez. And I don't know that I'm quite done with him. You might see him around yet. You just might. Nathan Bates, Jonathan Dellinger, Tanner Walton, Jeremiah Unruh, Noah Hickman, Dakota Constable, we just saw him. Joseph Robb also served staff here. Caleb Reese, Greg Ventour, Luke Quinlan, Josiah Bosworth, Daniel Leach, Bryce Bell, Colin Helton, of course, also serving staff here now, as well as Brother Gabe Smith also here. In all, we have sent 30 students off to Bible college. We've invested over $125,000, $140,000 in the Timothy Project, training young men to be better trained, better equipped for the gospel ministry. Investing large blocks of time with students listed and many others in training and mentoring around the United States. We just spoke with another just the last couple of days, a man that we've worked to mentor through the years, and just wanted to call and say thank you for your investment in my life. The Lord says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I believe I can safely say there's been far more building than blunder as you consider what I've just shared with you. And I'm humbled, truly humbled, just to be a part of it. Just to be a part of it. It's been a good ride these last 32 years. We have fought a good fight, and we have certainly kept the faith. And we have not changed our colors. What we believed and taught and practiced then is what we believe and practice and teach today. And as far as I'm concerned, that will not change. That will not change. By the grace of God, we have a footprint in ministry. This church that goes around the world by the grace of God. The Lord said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations." And that's our responsibility. And we have taken that responsibility very, very seriously and seek yet to do what the Lord would have us to do. It has been a great ride in the Lord. I tell Gunnar all the time, it's been a good ride. Been a good ride. Our dad is now retired. And I don't know about you, but I think we have the prettiest church building in town. And I don't mind telling you that. Many times I drive up here with my girlfriend, my wife, and I said, "It's a pretty church." And she said, "It is, it is." I like that. It is. When I left for Florida several weeks ago, I was in good health. At least I thought I was. I thought I was, man, I'm just working and going, you know. I had no idea that I'd come face to face with death. And do so while away from my church family. Had I known that, I wouldn't have gone. I'd have just stayed home. Prayed, maybe, Lord, take it away. In your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1. Years ago, guests and those who have been members here for years, this is no surprise to you. But years ago, Brother John, I gave my life to this church. This is just not a church. This is my church. And I mean that, not that it belongs to me, it belongs to the Lord. But I gave my life to this church, and it's just not any church. It's highly personal. I have never entertained leaving this church, even to take a larger church as pastor. I had someone ask me, would I consider it? And I said, I'll pray about it. No. This church has my heart. This church has my life. You're special to me more than any other church. And I'd rather be here than any church, anywhere in the world. The church at Philippi, I believe, was a church that held a very dear place to the Apostle Paul, and to his heart as well. And I want you to join me in chapter 1. I'll begin in verse 3. Paul writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That is a man who loves this church. He is the Apostle Paul. When I think of New Heights Baptist Church, about all the saints, I do not only think about those saints that are alive and well today, but of the many who've already gone before us in the Lord. I have buried many bodies of the saints that I loved and yet today love down through the years. When I was in the ICU after the surgery, I was sure thinking a lot about eternity. I was concentrated on heaven. As a matter of fact, it held my primary attention. This was, of course, stirred when you're having what they call AFibs, especially those real fast ones. Those doctors don't like that one when it's just racing away. And it gets everybody's attention. Your heartbeat is way, way, way too fast. Doctors are alarmed. They come in and they give you a shot right into your heart. But it didn't work. So they doubled it up, gave me something by mouth, doubled it up. And then when you hear the doctor says, well, there's nothing else we can do but wait. I was thinking about heaven. It will get your attention pretty quick. When Brother Colt, my son, came into the ICU to say goodbye, he had to get back to his church, be responsible as a minister, and say, I love you, Dad. I was going through this list, and my attention was on the heavenlies. and all who had gone to that other side. That other side. I was working through all of these, thinking of heaven in this list in my mind. And I was seeing them there with the Lord on that other side. And of course, he came in to say his goodbyes and that I love you, Dad. And I was thinking of these, just to name some. Kay Atkins, the Hooks. Joe Carroll, the Shoes, the Snows. Dolores Morrison and Dale. Darlene Landrum, H.G. Ainsworth, Judy Michael, Darla, Dolores Lamb, Jean, Melissa, her picture's in my office, John Atkins, Deborah Morrow, Charles McCurley, Betty times two, Winnie and Irene. And then Don and my secretary of 17 years, sweet Barbara. Barbara. And though he was never a member of my church, I gave him his longest ride ever, Tate Foster. And I was thinking about little Tate, our grandson that lived just a few days. Cole Shalice's baby boy. And in my mind, guest in church, in my mind, okay, they are reaching out to me and calling me, come on. Come on. Come on. And I wanted to go. I wanted to go. I had perfect peace to go. Perfect peace. To go. I knew my children didn't want me to go. I knew my wife didn't want me to go. I would maybe hope my church wouldn't want me to go. But I wanted to go. I really did. And I asked the Lord, take me. Take me now. Take me to heaven. Later, of course, back here in Texas, speaking with my son, Colt again, who's now pastor and he's preaching right now in Russellville, Arkansas. I wanted to try to explain to him some of the spiritual dimensions of things that I was going through during that time, what happened to me, and told him, when you came to say goodbye, I wanted you to know that I could see you and I knew who you were and I knew what you're saying to me. But I wanted him to know, my attention was not on the earthly things during that time. It was on the heavenly things. And to my surprise, he says, you don't have to explain that to me. He said, I've never had anyone look at me the way that you looked at me that day. He said, it was like you were looking through me. And I was. And I was really surprised that he could sense that. Because my heart, my attention was not so much on the earthly things, though I knew what was going on. My attention was to the beyond. To the beyond. I had no idea that he could have sensed that at that time. But immediately he says, you don't have to tell me. I've never had anybody look through me like you did. As Paul said, perhaps I don't know whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. I just know that's what happened. This happened again after I was discharged. And I would lay down in the hotel room. We had to stay there for a week after before we could be ultimately released to come back to Texas. But this one was different, but it happened about the first 3 days that I was there. And I really didn't realize how dangerous this was as well until I was reading Miss Beulah's book. She's here with her husband and been visiting for several weeks, her husband Sam. When she, of course, was born in raised in India. And when she was born, she had 5 holes in her heart. And she wrote a book. It's a wonderful book. And I would lay down and my heart would start beating very strong. That's fine, but very slow. And that's not fine. The weird thing is I could hear the inside of my body like there was a microphone in my head. It was acutely loud. And I could hear everything that was going on inside of my body. My heart would beat in the rhythm you normally have. Boom, 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 boom. You with me? What was happening to me for 3 days when I would lay down is I'd get that first one, boom. Boom. And it felt like somebody had a bass drum on my chest and struck that bass drum with everything they had. And my body would shake. I didn't realize until I read her book that if that rhythm is delayed by more than, I think it's 3 seconds, is that right? More than 3 seconds, that is very dangerous for your life. And that happened. I had no idea. That was also another time that I was very near to passing. Again, first time that happened, I thought to myself, well, what's that? That never happened before. I've always felt ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Okay. Not like this. Not like this. What was that? Second time it happened. I'm thinking, this is the last time my heart will beat. I've got a message I'm working on. It will be titled, Plenty of Time to Pray. And when your heart beat is separated by several seconds, you will find you have plenty of time to pray. Again, I ask the Lord, take me home. Take me home. But it's like the Lord was saying, son, not now. Not now. But again, I had perfect peace in going. Perfect peace in going. Jump down, if you would, to verse 18 in Philippians 1. We'll see that Paul shared some things about his life and even possible death. What then, he says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preaching, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, there that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Then a famous verse. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. This was the struggle that I was facing. This is the struggle, church, that I was going through for several days during this time. Verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. For you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Members and guests, God has laid on me His heavy hand. I told Pastor Ben Springer that we trained here upon his visit there in Florida. I don't know, Brother John, if you were there at the time. That we preachers, we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. We must go and we must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a fire in the bones of a preacher, a true preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." The surgeon told me there at the hospital, he says, "You were right against the door of having the big one, that big heart attack. And that would have been the end. That would have been the end. It could have happened at any time, but God was with me." So I guess we're here, and that means that we're not quite finished yet. My time has not yet come, and neither has yours. Neither is yours. And as long as we're here together, what do you say we take some more mountains together? Climb some more hills. Let's join hands and hearts as never before and go on to greater things. There's still ground to plow. Still seed to be sown. Fruit to be had. And by God's grace, I intend to get some. I intend to get some. Those who perhaps have been visiting the church a while, and I appreciate your faithfulness, perhaps you would consider a church like this to be your church home. Well, I tell you what, you'll never have better friends in all the world. And the love of true saints of God than the folks right here. Lord bless you. Lord bless our dear church. Give us the strength, Lord Almighty, to honor those who paid the price all those many years ago. And let us look forward one day of joining them together as one. God of heaven, bless us. Help us. Bless this invitation. Do with it as you see fit. In Jesus' holy name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen.